Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, and reading verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And our subject this morning is the divine physician, the divine physician. Well, we consider these words before us this morning in the Gospel according to Luke. And these words, these verses, verse 31 and verse 32, they are such important words, such vital words for us, words that we must fully understand, words that we must fully apply to ourselves if we are to truly know the Lord, if we are to truly obtain and possess the salvation of the Lord. If we are to say that we are saved, well, then we must understand these words in the right way, because these words, well, on the one hand, they're very simple to understand, but on the other hand, they are very easy to misunderstand. And so in the short time before us, I'd like to clear any misunderstandings that you may have around these words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We must understand correctly the words of our Savior and what the gospel is all about. So that really will be our theme and our purpose this morning. Now, the context of these words, just to set the words in the context very briefly, the context is one in which the Lord Jesus is calling one of his disciples. You know that the Lord had 12 disciples. He has just called one of his disciples, a man named Levi, and we read that in verse 27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, a tax collector, that is, named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. So this is one of the disciples, this man Levi, who is also known, by the way, by another name. Levi is his Jewish name. His Greek name is Matthew. And some suggest that this was a name, that the name Matthew was given to the Lord when he became a follower of Christ, when he became a believer in Christ, because the name Matthew itself has a very special and precious meaning. Gift of God, that is what the name Matthew means. And of course, this is the same Matthew who is the writer of the first gospel. There are four gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the writer of the gospel according to Matthew is this same person, this person named Levi. Levi is his Hebrew name, but Matthew is the name that the Lord gave him, and he is the writer of Matthew's gospel. So these words are quite significant, really, but he is one of the 12 disciples, and he is called of Jesus. The Lord Jesus says to him, Follow me. And the response of Levi is remarkable, isn't it? Verse 28, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. Well, we could have heard a sermon. I could have given a sermon just on those words, the response of Levi. The Lord says, Follow me, he leaves all. In other words, he puts Christ first above anything else, above all his personal interests, all his wealth that he's accumulating as a tax collector. Above everybody else, he leaves all. That is how we are supposed to relate to the Lord Jesus. We put him first, and he rose up. So in other words, he rose up, he left behind earthly things. That's what happens when you follow Christ. The things of this world, of this life, You leave them all behind, the trivial things, just living for the here and now. You rise up into spiritual things, heavenly things. Now your mind is not fixed just on the things of this earth. Your mind has risen. You've risen up. Now you're thinking about heaven. Now you're thinking about eternity and spiritual things. This is what is happening to Levi, to Matthew. He left all, he rose up, and he followed the Lord Jesus. Of course, he followed the way that the Lord would lead him. We don't follow our way anymore. When we are saved, we don't follow our own way. And we don't follow the way of the world around us. Everyone is just looking at everyone else to see what should I be doing? What is the crowd doing? We don't follow that way anymore. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a mini sermon just from verse 28. What a wonderful sermon that would be. But verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house. So Levi, well, again, he rejoiced to be saved, to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing to have in our lives. What a wonderful person to know the Lord Jesus. This is, again, is this how you are? Sadly, for some people, they think it's a terrible thing when people come to the Lord Jesus. I know when I was saved, all of my friends were horrified that I'd become a Christian. Darren has become a Christian. This is a terrible thing. They were heartbroken. For some people, it's a terrible thing. If somebody becomes a Christian, what a shame. What a sad thing to happen to him. But not for a Christian, for the actual person who's saved, it is great rejoicing. This is what's happened to Levi. Levi is so joyous that he holds a great feast, a great banquet in his own house. And all of these things, well, I just touch on them, but they are wonderful things. But Levi, well, he has this feast, but not everyone is happy about this feast. We read in the rest of verse 29, there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? So Levi has just been saved. He's got this great banquet, this great feast. He's rejoicing, but not everybody is happy. The scribes and the Pharisees are murmuring. They're criticizing. They're finding fault. And they say, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? They are not happy with this thing. Basically, what they are saying is, if this Jesus is holy, if this Jesus is truly a holy man, and of course he was a holy man, he's the holiest man who ever lived, the Son of God, equal with the holy God, equal in holiness. If this Jesus is so holy, why is he mixing with unholy people? Why is he eating with publicans, with tax collectors who were despised because they were so corrupt most of the time, and other sinners, other immoral people? If the Lord Jesus is so holy, how can a holy man do this? How can a holy man eat and drink with sinners? That is what the Pharisees are saying. And that is what leads to the words of Jesus when he says, verse 31, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And these are the words that I want to spend just a brief time focusing upon. Well, let us just consider, first of all, the first part of the statement. The first part of the statement, which is, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now, I'm sure most of you understand what the Lord is saying here, but very basically, he's making a very obvious statement that those who are whole, or in other words, those who are well, those who are in good health, do not need a physician or a doctor. Nowadays, we would think of a doctor or a GP. So basically, the Lord is saying, when you're healthy, of course, you don't go to see a doctor when you're healthy. You don't go to see your GP when you are healthy. only those who are sick. Only those who are sick go to the doctor. So that's very simple, isn't it? It's a very simple and easy concept for us to understand. You don't go and see the GP when you are whole, when you're healthy. Only those who are sick. Well, how do we apply this spiritually? Well, the Lord is explaining that people will only come to him. People will only seek him, seek the Lord Jesus Christ, when they sense their need of him. Just like somebody only goes to the doctor when they need to, not when they're healthy, only when they need to. This is how it is with the Lord Jesus. We only go to him once we see our need. We have to see our need or else we will never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we meet them every week when we knock on doors and when we speak to people and try to share the gospel with them. What will they say to us? They say, I don't need to come to Christ. That's what they say to you. They will say, my life is good. My life is comfortable. I have a nice house. I have a family. I have a car, lots of money in the bank. I don't need Christ. I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need your religion. Thank you very much. That is what people will say to you, because they don't think they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't think you need him, you will never come. It's only those who see their need who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how it is with believers. We very often read, don't we, in people's testimonies of how people came to Christ. And it very often begins when they entered a time of need, a time when there were great difficulties in their lives, great problems in their lives, great crises, tragedies perhaps, bereavements. They were in great need and nobody else could help. And so they realized, suddenly I need God. That's when they started seeking after the Lord. That's what you see in so many testimonies, perhaps all of them. There's some element of this. They saw their need. They never saw it before. But they were cast into great distress, into great difficulty, and they realized that they need the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, just to digress slightly, this is part of the answer to the question, why does God allow bad things to happen? Why does God allow suffering in the world? You will hear this question very often. Well, it's a big subject, of course it is. But part of the reason why there is suffering in the world is because God wants you to see your need of him. That's why there are bad things in this world. To put it this way, let me put it to you in this way. If everything was wonderful in the world and you never had any problems, nobody would seek God. Why would they? They would all tell you the same thing. Well, everyone's fine. I don't need religion. I don't need God. Everything's wonderful. If everything was wonderful in the world, nobody would seek after God. But God allows things to happen. He allows wars. He allows tragedies. He allows calamities, so that people will seek him and find their way to him, so that men and women will know, I can't find my joy in this world. I can't find peace in this world. I shouldn't be living for this world. I need God. So this is a great part of the answer. Why bad things happen? Because through these things, God is calling his people to himself, calling them away from the world and bringing them to him. So, dear friends, this is what the Lord is saying here, even here. People will come to the Lord because they see their need of him. Otherwise, we will not come. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So that is the point the Lord Jesus Christ is making first off here. But then, just to further develop our thinking, of course, there is verse 32, and the Lord says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, it is at this point where we have to be careful. It's at this point where much of the misunderstanding can come in, Because in reading these words, it's very easy to think to yourself or to say to yourself, oh, I see what the Lord means here. I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. What this means is, and this is a mistaken view, what this means is, oh, well, it's only really bad people, people who have done really bad things who need the Lord Jesus. Because he says he hasn't come to call the righteous, he's come to call sinners. So that means only those who have committed great crimes, perhaps those who are in prison, perhaps only the serial killers of this world or the Hitlers of this world. They are the only ones who need to repent. That's what people may think. But dear friends, that is not the right way of looking at it. The question really you should be asking when you read these words is, who exactly are the righteous? Who exactly are the righteous? Who are these people who don't need to repent? Who are they? And also, are you one of them? Are you really one of them? Now, many people, of course, would say, yes, I am one of the righteous. I will be accepted by God. And the reason they think that is that, well, they will say to you, well, because I'm a good person. I do good things. I've never really done anything wrong. I've heard this many times. Even people in church will say this to me. I am accepted by God because I'm a good person. Or even you think you'll be accepted just because you're a religious person. Just because you go to church. This is, by the way, this is what the scribes and Pharisees used to think. The scribes and Pharisees would say to themselves, we will be accepted by God because we are good religious people. And we pray all the time and we wear religious clothes and things like that. We're not sinners. The sinners are like these publicans. We are righteous. The sinners are the publicans, these people that the Lord Jesus is eating and drinking with. They are the sinners, not us. But dear friends, this is so wrong. This is not what the Bible teaches. This is not what the Lord teaches. This is not how the Lord saw the Pharisee. The Lord, when he saw the scribes and Pharisees, he did not say to them, you are righteous because you're religious. He didn't say that. He said, in fact, the opposite to them. You see, the Pharisees, they thought they were righteous because that's what they wanted to think. They wanted to think that they were righteous. It was just their opinion of themselves. It wasn't the truth. And dear friends, this is what we see in the world around us. There are so many people who think they are good people. Why do they think that? Because they want to think that of themselves. It's not the truth. They want to think that. And this is, well, it's the mistake the scribes and Pharisees made. Is it a mistake that we make? Is there somebody here who thinks this? Know the truth about ourselves. If we don't live in truth, well, we certainly are not on the Lord's side. Well, let me explain it to you like this. Let us return to the illustration the Lord gave about the physician, about the doctor. Now, there are many people who don't think they are sick. They don't think they are sick until they go to the doctor. And then the doctor, well, he does all his checks, all his tests, and he says to them some very bad news. You are not very well. Many people have been like this. They thought they were well. They've gone to the doctor just for a checkup. They found they have something, some kind of cancer. Some kind of condition that has made them very unwell. But they wouldn't have known that unless they actually go to the doctor until they get his diagnosis, his true diagnosis. That's what the doctor does. He reveals our true state. Well, this is exactly how it is with spiritual things, dear friends. This is how it is when you come to Christ, the physician of our souls. When you come to Christ, you may think you are a good person, but the Lord Jesus Christ, through his word, shows you the truth. You are not. You are not a good person. He is the true doctor. You think you're in good health morally, but you are not. And he will, of course, he will run a few tests by you. What are the tests that the Lord Jesus runs? As a doctor would do a checkup, well, of course, the Lord sets before you the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments. That's the test. You think you're in good health, spiritually, morally? Let's go through the Ten Commandments. Have you ever told a lie? We've all told a lie. Well, you're not quite as healthy as you think you are you? You're sick. Your soul is sick. You've told one lie. We've all told millions of lies in our lives. You are somebody who has broken the law. And then you can go on. Thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stolen something? Thou shalt not kill. And again, well, people will say, well, I've never killed anybody. But the Lord Jesus himself said in the Gospel according to Matthew, if you have hated someone in your heart without a cause and cursed them, you are guilty of murder. There's that root in your own heart. And so you have broken the commandment. These are the tests, the checkup that the Lord brings into your life. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Again, people will say, I've never committed adultery. What did the Lord say? If you have looked at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery in your heart. Dear friends, this is the great mistake people are making. People are saying, I'm a good person. I'm a righteous person. They've never been to the doctor to get checked out. They've never taken the test. Dear friends, what is the truth about every single one of us? We are all sinners. That's the teaching of the Bible. Every single one of us, we are sinners. Galatians chapter 3, the scripture hath concluded all under sin. That's what the Apostle Paul said. All of us. The scripture, that's the teaching of the Bible, the conclusion of the Bible, all of us are under sin. Romans chapter 3, both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin, all men. There's no special group of men that are exempt from this. Both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say, there is none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. So you see, none of us are righteous. Therefore, what does that mean? That means that we all need Christ. We all need Christ, not just the people in the prisons, not just the serial killers of this world and the Hitlers of this world. It means we all need Christ. That's the teaching of the scriptures. And this is what it is to be saved. You understand this. This is what repentance means. The Lord speaks of repentance. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Many of you will know that repentance in the Greek means, or one of the meanings, it's a change of mind. It's a change of attitude. And so this is what it is to truly repent. It's not just that you stop physically doing certain things. It means that your mind has completely changed. Before you thought you were a good person who would be accepted by God. Now your mind has changed. You've repented. You know that you're not a good person. You are a sinner in the sight of God. You've sinned millions of times. And you realize that you need the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it is to repent. This is the meaning of these words. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We're all sinners. And we all need Christ. We need his righteousness. Time is running on, but I have to mention this, of course. We need the righteousness of Christ. The only way we can be made righteous is by believing in the Lord Jesus. He is the only one who is righteous. We are not righteous. How can we be righteous? We have faith in the Lord Jesus. And the scriptures say that we are clothed in his righteousness. It's like we put on a big coat. Otherwise, we are naked. We have to stand before God naked and ashamed, just like Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Remember their state? They were naked and ashamed. That is how we will be before God if we are not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, in his righteousness. Dear friends, this is what we need, but we also need to trust in the death of Christ on the cross. Why did Christ die? Did Christ die for good people, for righteous people? No, of course not. Christ died for sinners. He wasn't dying for good people. There are no good people. Instead, what do we read in the scriptures? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You understand that? While we were yet sinners, we have to understand that we are sinners, or else we will never fully benefit from the salvation of the Lord. Dear friends, this is what every Christian believes. Christ has died for me, for my sins, the sins I have committed in my body. He took the punishment in his body on the cross. He died in my place. And this, of course, is what proves the love of God toward us. This is what proves the love of God toward us. God is not somebody who loves us only when we are good. And I repeat that, God is not somebody who loves us only when we are good. God loves us when we are at our worst, when he sees all our sins. That's the love of God. That's a far greater love than anything in this world, in this life. God doesn't just love us when we are good. He loves sinners. And he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. So, dear friends, I hope we have a better understanding of these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must not misunderstand these texts. We must not be deceived. We are all sinners. Now, let me close with a trivial illustration. I hope you will pardon this. A trivial illustration to explain something very serious. All of these things are very serious. But just in case there's somebody here who is ignoring everything I'm saying, and they are thinking that they are right enough and good enough for God. In the sporting world this week, the World Cup, everyone's looking forward to the World Cup. The England World Cup team was announced, and the manager called up all of the team members. Now, there were many players, two or three players, who they were convinced, apparently beforehand, they were going to be in the team. They thought to themselves, well, just like these people here, we are good enough. Of course we are. No question about it. We are going to be on the plane. We are going to be playing in the World Cup. I am good enough to play. And then, of course, when the names were announced, they were not in the team sheet. They were not in the squad. And, well, you hear of these reports. Some of them are shocked. Some of them are distraught. Some of them are angry. Dear friends, let me apply it to you spiritually. This is how it will be at the very end of time. Sadly, this is how it will be. This is what we read in the scriptures. There will be people standing before God thinking they are going to heaven. Most certainly, I will be there. I will go there. Because I'm a good person, I'm good enough to get into heaven. But they won't be there, dear friends. They never trusted in Christ. Christ is the only way to heaven, not your own works. You have to trust in Christ. He is the way to heaven. He alone has opened the gate. If you don't have Christ, if you don't think Christ is your righteousness, if you don't think Christ had to die for you, well, dear friends, just like those players, you'll be shocked. You will be distraught. You will be angry for all eternity, forever. Dear friends, choose the Lord now. We must come to Christ. We all need Christ. We all need his righteousness, his atoning work, his precious blood that washes away all our sins. You must repent, dear friends. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Don't be proud. Don't think to yourself, I'm good enough. If you humble yourself before the Lord, then he will raise you up. This is the lesson, the message of these wonderful words. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. We are all sinners to repentance. May the Lord bless these wonderful words to us.